Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, in your will discover your peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When we became believers, when we became people who sought the Lord with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with all of our souls, with all of our strength, or at the very least attempted to do so, right? We knew that there would be difficulties. We knew that there would be struggles. Sometimes those struggles take whatever kind of form they may. Perhaps you'll lose a friendship, or perhaps you'll lose your life. This past week has been an interesting thing in many ways. I spoke with a gentleman in the middle of the week who was he had come from India, and he was a guru. And I had a very interesting conversation with him, a very good conversation with him. And we spoke just a little bit about the idea of spirituality. And he had offered to teach yoga courses, and I had simply said, we are very strict about our spirituality. We're very strict about our faith. We cannot have another spirit other than the Holy Spirit. And he understood it, and he took it very well, and he took it very politely. And that was, in a way, my little bit of a challenge. It almost seems paltry in comparison to what many people have faced this past week with struggles and strifes and difficulties. But whether they are small or whether they are large or whether they're more than we can possibly imagine or handle, our faith is challenged on a regular basis. And oftentimes, those challenges can start to mess with the way we think, especially if we dwell on those situations, especially if we continue to stay in that state, to stay in that spot. I've told you probably several times about my struggles with depression. And in a lot of ways, it was the same way. It was something rough would happen, something difficult would happen, and I would stay there. I would continue to think about it. What did I do wrong? What have I been doing wrong? What did I miss while I was doing the wrong thing? And how have I strayed in this way? It's easy, whenever these struggles, whenever these difficulties happen, for our hearts to begin to falter, for our hearts to begin to grow weak, and even to grow misguided. Tragedy and danger, those difficulties, those struggles, those rough situations can cloud our hearts and our minds and move our focus away from what's important, away from the priority, away from the issue. The point to ponder that we have is simply to live as Christ and to die is gain. Do you know where Paul was when he wrote that? Prison. Philippians is an interesting book in that it's called the book of joy, or the letter of joy, or many other things, but usually the title has the word joy in it somewhere. And it's a fascinating book because regardless of how joyful Paul was in that place, he was in prison. And he was facing the persecutions of Jews who were rejecting his message, and Romans who didn't understand and were following along. When he was in Ephesus, they revolted against him, saying, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians," and started a riot. Paul faced all of these difficulties, all of these situations, all of these issues, and took them in stride. And it's an amazing thing to look back upon that, and then also to reflect in a lot of ways on my own life, my own situations. How often Do I have to wait 5 minutes in line for a fast food? And that's my persecution of the day. How often is it that I have to wait 45 minutes for a sit-down restaurant? I'm in a comfy chair and I'm in air conditioning or heating, I guess, now, this season. But maybe the air conditioner's busted. Maybe the heater's busted. Maybe you have to wait a solid hour for somebody to come around and ask you what you want to drink. How often is that the struggle? We have to wait in traffic. We have to wait in line for our food. Those things so often will cloud what we think. And I can't help but reflect upon those things and to say, what am I doing? What am I doing being upset, being thrown off by this situation? And it's actually quite amazing, and in a way, ironic, and in a way, hilarious, in that in those situations, I get frustrated and irritated. But when I realize, oh, I don't have a home, oh, I don't have a job, oh, my uncle just passed away, oh, my sister is in the hospital, my mother is dealing with heart issues. But in those situations, it's a very fascinating thing that happens. It's a very interesting thing that happens. And it's, in a way, very similar to what happens with Paul in this letter, in what he is saying. It's almost like the pieces sort of start to fit back together because everything is put back into perspective. It's almost in those darkest times where our faltering hearts are at their lowest. When you're in the abyss, or as what Jonah would say, when you're in the depths of Sheol, there you find me. And this, I believe, is what Paul is seeking to say in Philippians chapter 1, verses 18 to 30. Yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all. For your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. This is the word of the Lord. The amazing thing about what Paul is saying here is in many ways what he says to King Agrippa during his arrest and during his persecution, where he speaks the gospel to Agrippa. He talks about why he has been imprisoned, where he says, I was a Pharisee. I was one of the higher ups. I was one of the leaders. But Christ met me face to face. And he goes through his testimony. And then he says, so I have been convinced. I am going out. I am ministering to the Gentiles. And that is why I am here. And he speaks the gospel to him. And he witnesses to him. A man in chains in prison facing the king of this province, of this area. And he uses his trial as a chance to share the gospel. And Agrippa sits there and says, you mean to make me a Christian? And what does Paul say? Very simply, I wish that all people would be as I am. Well, aside from these chains. Whether by life or death, Christ may be honored in my body. That's the central theme of what Paul is seeking to do, of what Paul is seeking to say in this passage. We are tested and we face trials, we face tragedies, we face strife. Sometimes that not many other people can relate to or even comprehend. A lot of times things that people can. And they go on those two fences, those two sides of saying, well, no God would allow this to happen. And God is the only one that I can confide in for this situation, for this issue. I've spoken several times about the fact that the gospel is not tested whenever these issues, whenever these difficulties, whenever something like Texas, Sutherland Springs, Texas, or Las Vegas, Nevada, or Orlando, Florida, or San Bernardino, California. When those things happen, it's not the gospel that is tested. It's the gospel that is the only thing that people can cling to gain an understanding, to gain perspective, to gain some hope for the future. Because if Christ did not rise from the dead, then as Paul simply said in Corinthians, we are a people to be most pitied. But Christ has indeed risen from the dead. And because of that, because Christ has risen, because Christ is moving in our hearts and transforming our hearts, he calls us to live in this way. Despite imprisonment, despite persecution, despite even the threat of death. Even if the rest of life is safe, even that small possibility of death, Paul says, continue to honor Christ, to focus on Christ, to make Christ the center, to the point that even life is secondary to honoring him. And Paul says, even in our struggles, even in our sufferings, even in our persecutions, and I will honestly say, and I will frankly say that in Paul's time, and especially the years after Paul's time, these sorts of situations, these sorts of issues happened on a regular basis. And yet, the church continued to meet. That's why it's so amazing to be together, to join together as one body in the Lord. It's not just us here, but we, through Christ, are united and we're joined with the churches all across the United States, all across the world, all across of time itself. We are joined together as one body to worship the Lord as the communion of saints, as the Apostles' Creed says. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the Universal Church, which means the church not only today, but of all days, of all time, past, present, and future, united together as one body. The communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. To focus on those things, to focus on Christ himself alone, who is worthy of our praise and honor, rather than worrying about tomorrow. Because what does Jesus say about tomorrows? Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will deal with itself. Only worry about Christ. Only worry, am I honoring Christ in what I do? We spoke about that just a little bit last week. If you're in the high position, or if you're in the low position. If you're in the high position and suddenly find yourself in the low position. Or if you're in the low position and suddenly find yourself elevated to a status of wealth or fame or any of those sorts of things. Only remember Christ and himself crucified. And in many ways, that's what I saw as I reflected upon and watched through the news stories of what had happened in Sutherland Springs. They interviewed the pastor. They interviewed the man who essentially drove the shooter away, exchanged fire with him. And they spoke to these people, and the way they responded was so amazing, because the person who had come in with his gun and exchanged fire had said, I feel like the Holy Spirit was with me. I feel like the Spirit was calling me, had put me in that position. And the pastor himself, in front of all of the news, says, Christ is honored alone, despite the fact that his own daughter was one of them that perished in the church. Christ is honored alone. Can we say that we'll say the same thing? I hope we can. And I don't say that to criticize or say that you wouldn't. But I pray, I pray that we'll never have to answer that question. But the second is, I pray that if that happens, if the Lord calls us, if our life is demanded of us, we'll be ready. We'll be ready to go. And we'll be ready in those times to honor Christ and honor him alone. I wanted to finish with just a couple things. Or with just one more thing, actually. I'm going to skip the rest of the verses and go straight to the Lorica. There was a missionary, a monk by the name of Patrick, who in the 4th century, I was going to do another quote, but I'm actually going to do the next one. There was a monk in the 4th century, his name was Patrick, St. Patrick, and he and his disciples at this time, as they were spreading the gospel in Ireland, had something that they would say each and every morning. And I've cut it down in half, but there's still about 4 slides of it. But I wanted to read it. And I want that to be our prayer as we go out, as we minister to people, as we face the inevitable difficulties of what will happen in this life, and as we prepare to seek God and him alone. But I wanted to read this for you guys. The Lorica of St. Patrick. And Lorica means breastplate. It means armor. To strengthen them. To guard them from the temptations of the world. The Lorica of St. Patrick. I arise today through a mighty strength. The invocation of the Trinity. Through a belief in the threeness. Through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. I arise today through the strength of Christ's birth and his baptism, through the strength of his crucifixion and his burial, through the strength of his resurrection and his ascension, through the strength of his descent for the final judgment. I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me, God's ear to hear me, and God's word to speak for me. God's hand to guard me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to protect me, God's host to save me from snares of the devil, from temptations of vices, from everyone who desires me ill, far or near, alone or in a multitude. Christ shield me today against poison, against burning, against drowning, against wounding, so that reward may come to me in abundance. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of every man who speaks of me, Christ in the eye that sees me, Christ in the ear that hears me. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through a belief in the threeness, through a confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. Let that be our prayer as we go through this life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for being our God, for being faithful to us.